This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the 1865 Match Report as we look back on Forest's 2-2 draw with Wolves at the City Ground. An afternoon of frustration and an afternoon of missed opportunities as Forest got themselves in front in that second half. They were 2-1 up but allowed Wolves to come back within minutes to score an equaliser, and Forest had to settle for a point, having actually come from a goal down earlier in the game. The result leaves Forest a point outside the Premier League's bottom three after Luton lost 5-1 at Man City. It's Stephen here and I'm joined by Tom to look back over the events of this afternoon and this 2-2 draw. So first of all, Tom, Forest made one change for the game, Gio Reyna coming in for Anthony Elanga. Elanga wasn't even involved in the squad at all, so it looks like it's some form of injury. Apparently it's a thigh injury that might be clearing up by the time Forest play Everton, but I think overall it's disappointing to lose Elanga, but Reyna coming in probably felt like the best replacement. What do you think?
Yeah, and we'll get on to him in a bit later, because Origi's been playing in that position in recent weeks when Elanga hasn't been playing. But with Reyna, I think we all wanted to see more of him because he had like a decent cameo role, didn't he, against Palace when we got 1-1 a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, with Reyna, it's nice to actually get him, have his first start in a Forest shirt. So, I think it was like the only real change. I don't think you can really put an 18-year-old in the terms of Rodrigo Ribeiro, I think it's yeah. What to ask, but Reyna, I thought he had a bit of a slow start. I thought it was like he was coming more in fielding, probably like not getting in the way, but he wanted the same patch of grass what Gibbs White was occupying. So, it was nice to see Gio Reyna actually make his first start for Forest.
And the game itself, certainly those opening 10-15 minutes, it was quite an open game, and it felt like Forest were trying to take the game to Wolves and pin them back and press them in their own half, and with some reasonable success. I think Forest were quite good at winning the ball back and turning it over in the Wolves half. It was just, again, trying to make the most of the opportunities, which is a theme of this game as we go through the match report. Yates, for example, he had a shot deflected wide early on in the game. He then had a shot as well after Forest won the ball high up, which was comfortably gathered by Jose Sarr. The first big chance of the game came around half an hour in, and it fell to Wolves, and it involved Yates again, but it started with Matt Sells, Forest goalkeeper. He played an awkward pass to Yates. He in turn then played an even more awkward pass that was intercepted by Gomez. and Murillo back on the line with a last-ditch clearance, or last-ditch save, if you like, to stop Gomez's curling effort going in. The ball then fell to Sarabia and he dragged his shot wide. It was a massive let-off for Forest, but a tale of two extremes here. Really sloppy play on the one hand, but then brilliant defensive work on the other from Murillo.
Yeah, I had my head in my hands for that moment. I had to watch it again on the highlights when I got home, because I honestly thought we were going to score then, and it wouldn't be surprising, because we've got all season it's been the story of gifting other teams goals and everything, and that would have been no different to all the other goals we've probably conceded this season. And yeah, Murillo miraculously headed it away, kind of thing, but we'll get onto him in a bit. But Ryan Yates, just, if I was him, I would have just like smashed it out to play and just like regroup, kind of things. Like, but I was quite in the first 20 odd minutes. I thought Forest like really pretty much on the front foot and everything. I thought the Penn Wall was back, and I had a look on Sky Sports app because I was just intrigued to see what the possession stats were. And I was kind of shocked, really. It was 48% towards the 52% of Wolves. And I thought, how can that be? Because I thought we had all the ball and everything. But yeah, I thought we started the game pretty well. But it just seems to be a common theme recently. I mean, we was really good the other week, wasn't we, against Fulham, in the especially the first half. But we've just got this like tendency, and it's been like it for a good few months now. We start really well, but if nothing happens in that first 20-odd minutes in terms of a goal, we go into a shell a bit and start making like the most stupid mistakes ever. Like just like normal, like simple, like 5-yard passes goes astray, and there's a couple of like, it's just so frustrating. As we get onto it, there is the makings of a decent side there, but we've got the softest of soft underbellies, haven't we? And it's like in the last couple of years, being in the Premier League, it's like Charity FC are in town, they will give you anything, and that's us, isn't it? And yeah, I sincerely hope we stay up this season, and we need to start eradicating these stupid errors. I don't think, apart from that Palace goal the other week, I don't think any team's like ripped us apart this season. I think it's all of it's been either from set pieces or defensive errors, and it's just becoming the norm for Forest at the moment. And it's like, just get to the end of the season and just by hook or crook, just bloody stay up in this league.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's probably what makes it frustrating as well, that actually Forest have come on in many ways. And like you say, I don't think teams are ripping Forest apart at all, really. That's been the case all season. But Forest's problems have felt very self-inflicted throughout the campaign, and it's a common theme that seems to continue. Forest did have that chance in the first half with Giovanni Reina when he pounced on a poor pass out from a Wolves defender. He shot from about 20 yards, low effort that went just wide of the post. But it was 40 minutes when Wolves took the lead. And it started actually with a Forest attack. Forest had the ball in the Wolves half. Cross came in. It was a poor cross to the back post to nobody. Wolves clear. It goes to Cunha. And we've both looked back at the goal since the game has finished. And it is just poor defending all around from Forest. So Cunha's got Amal Bamardelli and Yates near him on the left-hand side of the Forest penalty area. Cunha's then allowed to come inside, lash a shot into the top corner past Sells to make it 1-0. I think the shot from Cunha is good, to be fair to him, but I don't think he should have had that opportunity in the first place. What do you think?
Absolutely not. I mean, Amal Bamardelli is... he's basically held him up, but I don't think he's blameless in this. I think he's let Cunha get like spin away from him too easily. He should have basically got himself between the Forest, or where the Forest area is, and everything, and just like ushered him out the box and wait for support. So that's the first bit. He's like let him slip away too easily. Then the second, I'm not his biggest fan. And I don't think he's Premier League quality. I just think Ryan Yates is, don't want to keep using the word, no disrespect to him, because but he's a championship player at best. He does a job when it's a bit scrappy, but then what he did was he didn't really like break stride. When Cunha was going down that channel, if you look back, he's jogging back. And then he just stands there. Then you could get a bus through that. Why didn't he like double up? If you watch the game today, every time Hudson-Odoi picked up the ball, Wolves players, they didn't double up on him, they tripled up on him, because you could see that there was three players around and everything, and just like nullified him. Yates does absolutely nothing. He leaves a massive gap there for a bus to go through. Cunha gets away from him with Bamardelli. He puts his arms up saying, I can't bring him down. I'm like, between the pair of you, just like shepherd it out. Even if you have to concede a corner, do anything.
Yeah.
He does absolutely nothing. And he's absolutely, Cunha is a very good player. He's been probably Wolves. I haven't been seeing Wolves on like a regular basis this season for obvious reasons, because I support him. But every time I've seen Wolves, he looks to be their best player or one of their best players. And he's absolutely hit it. All right, Sells has got a touch on it. And I think it'd be harsh to say he should be saving that, because it is a really good effort. But he stopped the source. And all right, it's a poor cross to nobody by Hudson-Odoi to start with, but that ball's come a long way. And the pair of them, like, Bamardelli, he's done okay, but he's like, let him, and like I said, Yates does absolutely nothing. And I'm like, it's just getting to a point now where I just don't see the point of picking Yates. I know there's fans out there who are from the academy, like, lay off him. We're in the Premier League now, and we've had 25 years or whatever since we's in the Premier League in the 90s. And if you remember, we've had a lot of players who put the effort in, but they just haven't got that like quality, like the likes of Ben Osborne, who did a job but he wasn't outstanding. Eric Lehi did a job, wasn't outstanding. And I'm going to put Ryan Yates in this bracket. All right, he probably bleeds Garibaldi red, but you're in the Premier League now. This is elite sport, and I think we've got to be doing, well, there might be midfielders there. If we can get a pre-season out of Sangare and actually gets up to pace with the Premier League, you got Nico Dominguez there, he's played for Argentina, he's played in Serie A, he is a good player, and I don't know why he's not playing at the moment, because him and Danilo play quite well together. But Yates, he just, whether it's like, because he's like, well, he's not really from Nottingham, he's from Lincoln, but because he's been at the club the longest and everything, and he's got that affinity with the academy and everything, whether that's a factor. But yeah, we're in the Premier League now, and you're like, if you look at other Premier League clubs, I bet they haven't got many players who have like come from the academy, and you've got to be like outstanding to actually excel in the Premier League. And yeah, I just don't think he's got it as a Premier League. I mean, he's probably all right to be around the squad and he can do a job, but starting him over Nico Dominguez or other players, I just don't think he's good enough, to be honest. And that's not getting on like a bandwagon of anti Ryan Yates. I've been going to Forest for like nearly 30 years now and everything, and I do think that I've got a decent opinion and a decent skill set to have an opinion over if a player's good or not. And yeah, I just don't think he's good enough for this this level, and I think we should be striving for better midfielders.
He's a player who seems to divide the fans in terms of what he brings to the team and his contribution. But I mean, you look at him on that goal in particular, you're kind of expecting a midfield enforcer to do more in that situation.
It was like against Spurs last week. In a 4-minute spell, we gave away 4,000 and got booked. Then there was a period, was it against Palace, he gets the ball, Nico Williams is out on the wing, it should be one touch, bang, out there. No, needs three or four passes, plays it back to Murillo and that chance, because everybody moved to like towards the main stand touchline. So there was a big space for Nico Williams. It was in the second half, and too many touches, plays it back to Murillo, chance had gone. You could really have like exposed Palace.
Let's have a look then at Forrest's equaliser, which comes 5 minutes later. It comes from a corner. Gibbs White is involved, but he's not taking the corner. It's Gio Reyna. He swings it in, and Gibbs White is there to head the ball past Jose Sarr and equalise. And he scores against his former club, and don't we know about it? He enjoyed that celebration, enjoyed the goal, because he had been getting some stick. And I think there were some comments as well, or some chants from the Wolves fans towards his partner, which. There's no place for that.
No, definitely not.
I'm glad that Gibbs White was able to give some back to them.
Yeah, they were Wolves players, and there's a couple of corners what went out, a couple of players went down, like holding in the faces, and Max Gilman was one. I think Nelson's Semedo, he was another. And I think at that point of the game, Wolves were rattled. I think they probably felt like really hard done by that. They didn't get certain decisions where everybody's jostling for position and everything. And then when I think it was the third corner of that sequence, Reyna put it in, and and Gibbs White's just glancing header past Jose Sarnes. It made a change that we've actually scored from a set piece, because we've been truly horrific, haven't we? I think that was our first set piece goal since, I think it was in the league, especially against Man U when Bolly scored in like the fourth minute. So it was made a nice change that was for actually scoring from set piece for once.
And it made it 1-1 at half time. And I think Forrest would have been happy going in at the break level, especially having fallen behind how they did. And I think on the balance of play, Forrest were good for at least being level at half time. In the second half, the game, I think, followed a similar sort of pattern. Forrest were more on the front foot, looking to press Wolves a bit more. And it was 12 minutes into that second half when they eventually found a goal. Morgan Gibbs White had the ball. He ran through the centre, but he was taken out by a foul by Matt Doherty. I think it could and should have been a penalty, but thankfully the ball fell to Danilo, who was supporting. He controlled and slotted a finish past Jose Sarr, nicely taken by Danilo. And Forrest were 2-1 up at this stage and looking like they could really build on that and go on and maybe get a win.
Yeah, I've been watching the highlights back. And when I was obviously at the game, I thought it was, if it's not a goal, it's a penalty. But whoever put the challenge in, did you say Matt Doherty?
Yeah.
It's an actually brilliant challenge. He's okay, he's got the ball, but he's got a bit of play as well. Whether they would have used it as excessive force, I don't know. But yeah, Danilo, really composed finish, wasn't it, on Jose Sarr's near post kind of thing, as he's tried to spread himself. But it was really well taken goal, and from there, I still think that 2-1, it was great at the time, but I kept thinking to myself, if we get the opportunity, make sure we put this game to bed kind of thing. And sadly, it didn't really come, did it? And then we'll talk about it in a minute. But Danilo, he's like our concurrent April player of the month, isn't he? Because he had a really good April last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then this year he had a decent game against Fulham, didn't he? And all of that. So he took his goal really well, and he had a really good game today. Murillo did. Danilo, but Murillo obviously got man of the match. So Danilo's, he had a decent game.
Good to see him back in form as well, because he has struggled this season. Whether he just likes the month of April, who knows?
Yeah. It's been one of those seasons from Danilo, whether he's like coming and he's like, and that adrenaline and everything being in the Premier League made a big difference last year. I don't know, but yeah, this year has been a bit stop start. He's been in and out the side. He's had a couple of injuries. He had a bit of a, I won't say a disastrous start of the season, but he gave that penalty away against Man United, didn't he? And then he got injured against Chelsea, and it's been a bit stop start. And then he had a decent game against Brentford. Then he was out of the team for a bit, wasn't he? So hopefully in the next month or so he can really kick on and start showing more of those performances, because we definitely do need it.
Indeed. But Forrest's lead only lasted for 5 minutes, and it was again, a set piece, and again, a corner that Forest concede from. So Wolves win this corner down Forest's right. It swung in, headed down by Max Kilman. Matt Sells didn't properly deal with it. I'm not sure at the time. Perhaps you can fill me in, because this was more your side of the ground, Tom. It looks like it spilled by Sells, and then it drops to Cunha and he prods it home. Was there anything more that Sells could have done there, or was it just a situation? It was a difficult one for the keeper.
I think it was just disastrous all around, isn't it? We like missed the first header. Then I think Sells is more bothered about what was around him and probably took his eye off the ball and he spilled it. And then Cunha can't really miss, can he? But again, it's like it's crap defending. And then Forest players are like looking around, like pleading with the referee, right? He got like fouled, because there's a game, wasn't there, was against, it was recently, we gave away a set piece and all the players were like going to the referees. So was it against Luton? I don't know if it was against Luton or somewhere like that. And yeah, all the Forest players are surrounded the referee, like wanting a decision. I'm like thinking, no, it's just getting pathetic now. I'll just get to the end of the season, because we all know we cannot defend set pieces. It's getting to the point where set pieces, especially at the Bridgeford end, if we've got to defend them, I'm like watching the game with hands over my face, and I'm like just waiting for the away fans below me just to start celebrating, because that's, I just fear every time it comes to the box. And this zonal marking nonsense, it's absolutely pathetic. It really is. I mean, when we played Fulham the other week, is it Tosin Arabayo?
Yeah. And he's up against Morgan Gibbs-White, isn't he?
He's 9'2" against Gibbs-White, who's probably like no more than 5'9" or something like that. It's just, surely they go through video analysts and everything, because Max Kilman, he isn't a small guy. And I mean, he's been brilliant in recent weeks, but if you watch the footage back, Chris Wood's not even looking at the ball. He's looking at the man, and he's like, he gets it all wrong. Max Kilman gets the first header. Then obviously Sells does what he does, and Cunha just scores the equaliser. And it's just like, just bloody help yourselves. I mean, surely there's players in who've got experience like saying, oh, why am I marking such and such when I'm only like 5'8" or something like that? I mean, I know we're not the tallest side kind of thing, but yeah, they've got to help themselves and just go back to man marking, because this, the zonal marking, it's not helping anybody. And it's just been the same game in, game out this season. We just cannot defend set pieces. And I don't know how many goals it is. It 25 goals now, something like that? But it's bloody laughable, isn't it? I mean, if you put like a Sunday league side and put three consecutive seasons together and then analyze how many goals they've conceded from set pieces, probably not even half of 25. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah, it's just frustrating. And yeah, just want to get to the end of the season now, because it's just getting repetitive week in, week out. We cannot defend set pieces, and it's like, it's not been, like I said earlier, we haven't been ripped apart in like matches. It's just that our inability to manage games properly and set pieces has been the story of our season.
But this begs the question, what is going on the training pitch? Because Nuno has been here long enough to see where the team's going wrong. So in a situation like this with set pieces, it's obvious we can't defend them, and we've not been able to defend them for a while. So what is he and his team doing to try and stop this from happening?
I would love to for them to answer that, because he keeps saying on a post-match interview each week, oh, we're gonna, it's hard work. And I'm like, well, you've been here since what, November now, and we're still conceding the same type of goals. Yeah, it's just, something's got to give. But then okay, we play next week, play Everton, and they've scored the most from set pieces in the league apparently, and we've obviously conceded the most, so
Yeah, exactly.
I know, like I said, I know we're not the biggest side. I get all of that, but you got to help yourselves, and we don't help ourselves in terms of how we mark and set up for set pieces.
So that made it 2-2, and having gone in front, Forest were pegged back again. Forest had a couple of opportunities. There was a nice ball from Morgan Gibbs-White that found Hudson-Odoi, a chipped ball, but he was slightly hesitant with his feet and saw claimed the ball and saved. Nico Williams then had an effort where he shot through a crowd of bodies, had to hit it first time. Not at his most comfortable. I think it was on his left foot as well. That was saved by Saar. And then as we were ticking round to injury time, a couple of changes from Forest. So we had Rodrigo Ribeiro come on for Danilo and Nuno Tavares on for Ola Aina. Earlier in the game as well, Dominguez came on for Ryan Yates and Divock Origi came on for Giovanni Reyna. And it's Divock Origi who we're going to talk about now, because Rodrigo Ribeiro actually plays him in beautifully with his first touch. It's a great ball down the right-hand side. First time, Divock Origi is in. He's got the option of having a shot at goal or squaring a cross goal for Chris Wood. And he does neither. The ball goes in between where it needs to go. The chance is wasted. And you're just looking at Divock Origi in frustration here, because you're thinking, what are you playing at? Either have a go or square it. He doesn't do either.
Yeah, and it's not the first time he's been in that position, because he found himself in that position twice against Brighton. One was a poor shot against Verbruggen and he saved it. Then he's hit the other one, which I mentioned in the match report, that he's basically stuck it in the English Channel. But then when he had that chance against Luton, he doesn't hit it with any conviction, really. He's given time for the Luton player to get back on the line and clear it. Then this one today. So I'm going to put him in the same bracket as Nicolas Demetriou and Adama Diakabi, but with them two, they were just not very good. But they weren't on the money, what Divock Origi. Apparently, some clown has signed him off as 120 grand a week. And any fan that chance, and they've got a bit of pace about him, that's a goal. And he doesn't, absolutely nothing. If anybody's seen it on social media, Ola Aina's put the mick out of his fashion attire this week. He was wearing like a tracksuit with a fluorescent and reflective band on it, and he made out saying he's had a night shift on a motorway. Well, with that half-assed performance today, he looked like he has been on a night shift on a motorway, because he was utter dreadful. And him and Tavares, when they come on, it's probably the worst substitute appearance for Forest since probably Gaetan Bong against Charlton under Sabri all those years ago. And his players on that bench are actually our players. And when you've told a player that you're not going to be here next year, he's not going to be too fussed about representing Forest.
Yeah.
And I don't know Divock Origi. I've never met the guy, but just doesn't seem, one, he doesn't seem good enough, and doesn't really seem that bothered that he's here, kind of thing. And he's picking up 120 grand a week. When we signed him, because all the sound bites where we're going to try and get Michy Batshuayi, and I think basically they're putting on a filter, Belgium striker, oh, Origi's available, oh, he might be as good as Michy Batshuayi. Then we'll get him in, and he hasn't done hardly anything in a Forest shirt. He scored one goal, which was basically Felipe hit the ball goalbound against Bristol in the cup, and it's hit his chest and it's gone in. A bit like Jabor's goal against Yeovil all those years ago. And it just doesn't offer anything. And you got a kid on the bench who's 18. And I've seen more with Rodrigo Ribeiro in that pass to Origi more than Origi in terms of quality kind of thing. I just don't think, even Carragher said he wasn't a very good player. And I mean, then obviously he's surrounded by better players at Liverpool, so they probably can carry him when you've got like, obviously, Bobby Firmino, Salah and Mane, they can probably carry him. But when we're sometimes a bit toothless in attack, and no disrespect to Awoniyi or Wood, but when you want another player to step up and you think, oh, 120 grand, Divock Origi has represented Belgium and all of that, you think he's going to do something. And he's been absolute pony, hasn't he? And
and
if we do go down this season, obviously I sincerely hope, but there's somebody who's been part of this club, but he might be still there, he's got blood on his hands of how much money we've wasted. with the profits and sustainability. I mean, before we come on air, we was mentioned about goalkeepers, and Sales is our eighth goalkeeper in 50 league games. And things like that just look absolutely laughable. And then you got black players who, like the South Korean, Hwang Hee-jo. Mm-hmm. You got him and you got Josh Bowler and a few others who we've spent decent money on. We'll probably never kick a ball for this football club. And then you got Origi, who's basically stealing a living for 120 grand. It's just eye-watering. And I bet there's... I know the game, it's a business now, and the old cliche, it's a working man's game, is long gone. It's been long gone for years now. But he's on 120 grand a week, and there's probably like somebody who has to sacrifice, because Forrest is probably like a release going every other week. He has to like sacrifice something, you know, like they probably have to sell a car, or he can't put like a radiator on in the bedroom, and it's, and things like that for him to go to Forest. And you got somebody like that who can't be bothered on 120 grand a week, and he puts in that cameo performance. It's, yeah, there's a lot of questions in the close season to be asked regarding Forest recruitment.
Yep, and I don't think those questions are going to go away, are they?
No.
So 2-2 it finished, and it's a result that leaves Forest a point outside the relegation zone. So they've moved a point away from Luton on 26 points. Luton are on 25 after their 5-1 defeat to Man City. Both teams have played 33 games. We're going to take a break now and hear the opposition view on the game.
Hi guys, this is Dave from Talking Wolves. Nottingham Forest 2, Wolves 2. And I don't know, I think probably Forest edged it overall between the two sides just due to the chances you were creating. But, you know, Wolves, we've missed Mateus Cunha massively over the last few weeks. We've really lacked attacking options, and that's probably why you may have seen the drop-off in our results. Although we've been fairly competitive in games, not really had that edge going forward, and could really tell the difference today. Our opening goal, you know, very, very, you know, straightforward throw out to Cunha, and it's just pure quality. I think the Forest defending is a little bit suspect, to be honest, but pure skill and the quality of finish from Cunha is exactly what we've been missing. And obviously, yeah, the equaliser, who else would it be? Morgan Gibbs-White flicks it on. I think Wolves, again, will be disappointed that they've you know, not avoided that goal, which could have easily been done, either cleared or saved by the goalkeeper. And then obviously the antics afterwards. Look, I know Forest fans, there is this sort of tension between Forest and Wolves fans, and it's all surrounding this Morgan Gibbs-White transfer, to be honest. I think a good deal for both teams at the time. He was a player that wasn't 100% happy at Wolves. I think the fee we got for him was very, very good. I think you've got a player that, you know, you definitely make profit on now, for argument's sake. But I just think from the outside, look, he wasn't treated brilliantly during his time, his time at the senior side of things at Wolves. But I think, in my opinion, I don't mind you having a crack with the fans and so on, but then I saw him shushing players and stuff. That's not my bag. I'm not 100% happy with that. I think that's very cocky from Morgan. But look, no doubt, I think he was one of the best players on the pitch for you guys, or on the, you know, for both teams, really. Second half, again, you were just piling on the pressure and, you know, got that goal. Again, I think that your goal is avoidable for us. Poor defensive clearance. I don't know why Lamine has just stopped tracking his man. And it's a pretty simple finish in the end for Danilo. But thankfully, we get that goal mouth scramble to equalise. But towards the end of the game, looking really, really sloppy. Just misplaced passes here and there. But, you know, it's a point for us. I probably would have taken a point before the game. I think on our match preview, I predicted 1-1. I'd probably take a 2-2. And now we are mathematically safe in the Premier League. Not that it was in much doubt after such a good season, really, under Gary O'Neill, given the circumstances of what happened at the start of the year, you know, and Lopetegui leaving right on the eve of the season, really, and Gary O'Neill coming in, and he's done a great job considering the circumstances, the situation he's been in, and the finances at this club. Really, really solid job from Gary O'Neill. And yeah, look, I think Forest should be okay. You know, looking at the rest of your fixtures, it's pretty much in your own hands. But I think another point on the board for you guys yesterday, a couple of results going your way. I think you boys should be safe. All the best for the rest of the season anyway. And fingers crossed, I'll catch you next year.
The 1865 Match Report.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like all of our podcasts this season, this episode of 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Make Green King your go-to destination for the season's final stretch. But why? Well, for one, you can wash every televised Forest game down with delicious food and refreshing beverages. And with 900 sports pubs dotted around the UK, chances are you're within walking distance of your local Green King. Let's be honest, watching football is way better with friends and family. So get the squad together for every televised Premier League fixture in an atmosphere worth sharing. That includes huge title showdowns, huge. The race for European qualification and nail-biting relegation six-pointers, unfortunately involving our very own Nottingham Forest. Don't forget to download the Green King Sport app to enjoy exclusive competitions and discounts whenever there's a game on. Now it's back to your podcast.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Welcome back. So, as we were talking about, Tom, before the break there, Forest are a point outside the relegation zone. As it stands, the team above them are Everton on 27 points, but they have played two games fewer than Forest at the time of recording. And it's Everton that Forest go to next, Goodison Park, next Sunday. And given that both teams have had points deductions this season, both teams are very well embroiled in the relegation battle. There's so much riding on this game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know there's some fans out there looking at the positives that we've gained a point on Luton, but in my eyes today, it's definitely 2 points dropped, because I wouldn't say we had the game in the bag, but when you're 2-1 up a game at home, you expect us to like get a third goal just to see it off. But seeing our inability of game management and set pieces, which we've already touched on, obviously we shoot ourselves in the foot again. And yeah, it would have been nice to get the win for obvious reasons going into the game next week. But yeah, I am going, and I don't know how it's going to go, because I mean, when we played Everton in, was it November?
Yeah,
we was poor. We was clueless on the day, and I don't think Cooper had a clue of how to deal with Everton that day. And they weren't great, really. But again, there was that ball what come into the area and it evaded everybody. Then Dwight McNeil hammered it past of Lakadimos. So and they've stuttered, haven't they, of late? I know they beat Burnley last week, but it was only because our old goalkeeper, Aaron Mijovic, smashed it against Calvert-Lewin. And then they play on Monday against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, don't they? And yeah. I don't know. Do they have a game before us? Do they have two games this week? Or they don't have a midweek game?
They don't have a midweek game, no. It's Chelsea, and then it's the game against us.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, we've just got to like try and bring our A game, i.e. with pace, because I don't think they've got many quick players in their side, but they're like the battle hardened, aren't they, under Sean Dyche, especially from set pieces and all of that. And that's the area where I fear, because they're not bad from set pieces and ultimately we can't defend them. So yeah, I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to the game, but I don't want to come across that I'm up my own arse kind of thing, because obviously I'm very fortunate to go to away games. But
I think I understand where you're coming from, though, because it's a pressure game. It's a game where you're hoping that Forest can turn up and actually do something, because it could be a pivotal one. in terms of where Forest are playing their football next season, if it's Premier League or Championship. It's a massive game.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's, like I said, it was a missed opportunity today because our next two home games against Man City, which we didn't give ourselves much hope last year, and somehow we got a 1-1, didn't they? They had an off day with Foden and Haaland and a few others. And then we've got Chelsea in a few weeks, which you just don't know which Chelsea turn up at the moment. So, I mean, they got a draw, didn't they, the other day against Sheffield United? Was it last week or something like that, or the week before? Stamford Bridge or Bramall? I can't remember now. But yeah, you just don't know which Chelsea are going to turn up. But I think if it wasn't for Cole Palmer, they'd be in a massive trouble. I wouldn't say they would go down, but I think they'd be close to the relegation places if Cole Palmer wasn't in their side, kind of thing. So
it was 2-2 at Bramall Lane.
Yeah,
so which gives you a bit of hope. You think, well, perhaps they'll, you know, you can score some goals against them, but
yeah,
you've got to be on your game still, because they, like you say, Cole Palmer and players like that are dangerous.
Yeah, Nicholas Jackson is obviously, he's probably missed more than he's scored, but at the end of the day, he's still an all right player, kind of thing. And then you've got Mikhailo Mudrik, who's in the last couple of weeks looks like he's got to grips with the Premier League. So, but yeah, first and foremost, next Sunday's a massive game, and don't ask me prediction because I don't know which way it's going to go. I really don't.
I think on that note, we'll leave the match report there. So Forest go to Everton next, Goodison Park next Sunday. We will have our match report for you after that game. But before then, we will have our Friday Five. So make sure you join us for that one. Until next time, thanks for listening. And thank you as well, Tom, for joining me. And we'll see you next time.
Podcast Network.